All right, are we ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Good. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. Last week, we began a series that I entitled Jesus, Snapshots of the Savior. And in essence, what we're doing in this series, we're going to look at the life of Christ in its entirety. But we're not going to do it in a continuous manner. That is, we're only going to take 4 weeks at a time and talk about the life of Jesus. How many of y'all know that it would take years to cover every single little story? We're not going to do that. We're going to look at main stories in the Gospels, reflecting the life of Jesus Christ. And we're going to take them four weeks at a time, and then we'll go to a different series down the road, come back, do four more down the road, come back, do four more until we reach about 20 of them. How many of y'all think that's a good idea? Amen. And so we're going to look at Jesus. I believe that there's no greater subject in the Bible to talk about than Jesus. And, you know, when an apprentice is following someone who has experience at a certain workplace, that apprentice will follow that experienced person. They will shadow them. So that's in essence what we're doing with Jesus here in the next following weeks. We are shadowing Jesus. How many of y'all know that to be like him, we must see him in action? Right? We must see him in context of life's circumstances. So if you're in John chapter 3, let's begin reading with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man, let's stop there. Does the NIV say something about him being a prominent member? Would you read it, Genius, please? Okay, it doesn't say prominent. Okay, he was a member of the Jewish ruling council, also known as the Sanhedrin. Okay, let me explain that to you. These were, simple definition, the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They were supposed to be the shepherds that Jeremiah the prophet spoke of that should tend to the sheep of God's fold. God's people. They should feed them. They should lead them. They should protect them. They should heal them. They should nurture them like a good shepherd would. But instead, historically, the religious leaders were not always plumb with that standard that God set for his shepherds over Israel. In fact, these people, the ruling council, were comprised of, let's just use Jesus' words to describe them. They were whitewashed tombs on the outside. Inside, inwardly, they were full of dead people's bones. They were snakes. They were vipers. These are Jesus' terms, okay? I'm not knocking them. I'm just talking, using Jesus' words to describe them. Jesus told them, "You are hypocrites. You'll take someone, make them twice the son of hell as yourself." See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law were all about themselves. They were not really about God. They were all about drawing attention. They demanded obedience to the law of Moses, but they themselves, listen carefully to what Jesus said, "You will put heavy burdens on other people's shoulders." This is all found in Matthew 23. "You will put heavy burdens on other people's shoulders, yet you yourselves will not lift one finger to help or to do what you're expecting others to do." So these people were hypocrites. They were also, they themselves were not following the laws of God from the heart. They were using technicalities. How many of y'all have met Christians like that? Amen. You know, it's like, don't look at my life, just follow, don't do as I do as I say to do. You know, church family, that is, any which way you slice it, how many of y'all know, that is a hypocrite. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 7 about them? About those kind of people. He said, take the plank, the telephone pole out of your eye so that you may see clearly and be able to take the little splinter in your brother's eye. is this painting a picture that these people are not good people? They have the position of honor. They have the position of responsibility. They have the position of leadership over God's people, but they were using it all about themselves. Another thing, they were very wealthy people. Josephus, Flavius, don't you just love the names they had back then? Flavius Josephus was a noted Jewish historian, and he says that Nicodemus, listen carefully, was the third richest person in Israel at the time of Jesus. Third richest man in Israel. There were a lot of rich people. See, Israel was a lot like Mexico. There was no middle class. There were the haves and there were the have-nots. There were the rich and there were the poor. And the rich exploited the poor, including Nicodemus. I've heard sermons that paint him out to be a great guy. Are you kidding me? That's why I spent that much time on verse 1. Everybody good? Ready for verse 2 and verses following? This man came to Jesus by night. Take note of that. He came to Jesus by night. This reference by night will follow him through the scriptures in John chapter 7 and in John chapter 19. This is not the only time that the gospel writer says this Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He'll repeat that phrase again twice over in this gospel. Why would this man need to come to Jesus by night? So no one could see him. What if they saw him coming to Jesus? He could lose his prominent position in the Sanhedrin, right? He could lose his seat in the ruling council of Israel. He could be in jeopardy of losing all his wealth. He could be in jeopardy of losing his influence, his affluence. Okay, moving right along. And said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Okay, pause there. Question, did the Sanhedrin really feel that way about Jesus? What's he trying to do to Jesus? He's trying to butter him up, isn't he? "Oh, Lord, we believe you are from God." You know what Jesus does, church family? Listen, write this down. Jesus is a God of truth, and Jesus does not tolerate lies or flattery or sugar-coated words that mean nothing. Who believes that with me? Who has found in your life with Jesus, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart? Who's found that out? Right? Jesus will cut through all the pleasantries. He'll cut through all the fake stuff, and he'll go straight to the truth and straight to the heart. So after all this flattery, notice what Jesus tells Nicodemus. Incidentally, this is the original Nick at night. See, that hit. Aren't you glad you got that revelation right there? Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Is Jesus not telling him the truth? Amen. Did Jesus not just bypass all those pleasantries? Did Jesus not act? He refused to acknowledge all his flattery. And he said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you will not make it to heaven." Woo! My wife and I usually talk about how you cannot BS a BSer. Is that appropriate in church? Well, I just made it now, so you cannot. What's that, brother?
Yes, it is now.
Oh, that's right. You cannot BS a BSer. And I'm not saying Jesus is a BSer, but he doesn't tolerate BS. What is BS? Bologna sandwiches. Thank you. Want to smooth that over, Miss Dawn? You don't need to look. Miss Dawn's looking at me like,
"No, I didn't."
Okay? Sorry, Miss Dawn. Won't throw you under the bus. Sorry, brother. Next verse. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Which is, I'm just going to read on and then come back, okay? Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone, who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Notice Jesus' reply. Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" Now, in that amount of verses, Jesus mentions the words born from above, born of the Spirit, or born again 5 times. If Jesus is repeating himself that many times in that short little dissertation or little conversation that he had with Nicodemus, we all could agree that that is important information he's giving Nicodemus, isn't he? That is important. You must be born again. Now, let's enter the mind of a Pharisee. The Pharisees did not believe. Let me phrase it this way. They believed that they themselves could be saved by their own good deeds and their own efforts. Right? They were all show. They would make long, eloquent, as somebody once said, they were waxing elephants. Eloquent. At the street corners with their long, drawn out, salivacious prayers. "O thou most high, thine divineness and holiness. We come as humble people, but dust in the wind." Dust in the wind. Kansas. No, never mind. So, sorry. That's my ADD. Sorry, people. When I said that, it just took me back to... Anyway, so these were all show. They were all about drawing attention to whom? Themselves, not God. And Jesus is saying, listen, this thing I'm talking about, you must be born from above. You have no hand in it. Who believes that we all have a hand in our salvation? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of whom? God. Verse 18. All things are of God, from the hand of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus. Right? Amen. We have no hand in the new birth other than saying, "Lord, I give my life to you." Other than merely receiving it. Listen, if you have not been born again, I know I talk to you, church family, but I think you know that we have a much farther reach than the walls of this sanctuary. Listen, if you've never been born again, if you've never stopped and given and thought to yourself and said, listen, I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven of all my sins. I need to ask Jesus to be my spiritual leader and the forgiver of my sins. Friend, you can do that at any time. You can pause and say, "Jesus, forgive me. I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my spiritual leader from here on." Amen. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 6, "He who comes to me, I will never," this is the way the Greek language reads, "I will never, no, not ever, not now or forever reject." Good teaching, Miss Normie. Thank you. So, you must be born again. Nicodemus asked, "How is it that I can go back into my mother's womb?" You know what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus? Even as you had no hand in your physical birth, you have no hand in your spiritual rebirth. Amen. for those who might be within my earshot that say, well, you know, I've got to contribute to my salvation. I once had a guy tell me, oh my gosh, ignorance. People who claim to know the Bible, present company excluded. You teach the word right on, brother. People who claim to know the Bible will tell you, oh, it is by grace that I'm in the kingdom, but it is my good works that keep me in the kingdom. Say what? It is by grace, start, middle, and finish. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house? Amen. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. At any point, there were no works that contributed to my salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It is by grace alone that you have been saved, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Right? We must be born again. Now, what does this speak of? This speaks of, church family, listen, Jesus is a Jesus of truth. We must embrace that aspect of Jesus. We must love the Jesus of truth as much as we love the Jesus of grace.
Amen.
Everybody wants the Jesus of grace. You know, I once had a conversation with a gal that wanted to go out with me. I was like, no, not interested. This is back when I was single, 2017. Anyway, I was working at the front desk of a rec center. She was a Baptist preacher's daughter, and she was telling me how she loves all these worship songs that talk about Jesus' mercy and Jesus' love, and that Jesus would never be mean. Jesus would never judge anybody. I'm like, sweetie, are you ready for this? I opened my Bible because I had it with me. I would take my scripture, you know, read it there. And I said, what do you do with Romans 11:22? Well, what does it say? It says, behold the goodness and the sternness of God. Oh, no, I don't believe that. She told me that. I don't believe that. She said, I said, then you need to have a talk with your daddy. Just like that, I told her. Well, she did. To her credit, she did have a talk to her father. But not to her father's credit, she came back and said, my dad told me I'm right and you're wrong. I said, what? What kind of preacher is he? Well, this is just the Jesus I need right now in my life. No, baby, you need the Jesus of love and you need the Jesus of truth. Who is thankful with me today that there have been people in your life that loved you enough to tell you the truth?
Amen.
You know, I'm very weary of all of this lovey-dovey church that anything goes and we celebrate anything and we celebrate anyone. You know what, church family? Listen, I am standing with Jesus on truth. Because that'll keep me and that'll keep us always on the straight and the narrow. Can I get a witness, please? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on
Jesus.
Thank you. Upon the solid rock I stand. All other ground is
Jesus.
All other ground is
Jesus.
Thank you. The rock that I stand on is the truth of Jesus Christ. John 1:17. Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. You cannot separate one from the other. If you're going to get Jesus, you're going to get both grace and you're going to get truth. You know, church family, love without truth is deceitful. It's deceptive. Love without truth is deceptive. Oh, I love you. Seems like a lot of single men and some married men have mastered how to love without truth. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. And in the back of their mind, let me just get from you what I need, and then I'm going to dispose you. But who has found out the opposite is also true? Truth without love is destructive.
Amen.
That's not my Jesus. We have to have both love and truth. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so what happens to this Nicodemus, the encounter with Jesus. Who believes with me that a genuine encounter with the Master will change us from the inside out? Amen. You know, he came to Jesus by night. And once again, that designation followed him in John 7 and in John 19. But you see a change. You see a slow change and a gradual change transpiring in Nicodemus' life. You see him defending and standing up for Jesus when Jesus is being talked about. He defends Jesus publicly. He's the same cat that came to Jesus at what time of day?
Night.
And now he's publicly defending him. And then in John 19, he and Joseph of Arimathea go together in public, in broad daylight, to ask permission from Pontius Pilate for the body of Jesus Christ so that they could grant him the proper burial. Who would say with me, that is boldness?
Amen.
Listen, church family, when we let Jesus speak truth into our lives, look at the change that happens to us. We become strong and bold witnesses of his. Amen? It was these same Pharisees that took note of Jesus' followers. They took note of their boldness and they said, these guys have been hanging around Jesus. Acts chapter 4. All right, who receives this word today? How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word. Therein lies the power. We want truth. We want love. But all together, Lord, we want Jesus, the Jesus of truth and the Jesus of love, to speak truth in our lives, Lord. There are so many people that have a squirrely relationship with truth. They bend it. They mold it. They try to make the truth conform to their perspective. Lord, help us to bow down before Jesus as we are, all of us as we are, to submit to his truth and be changed and transformed from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen.